Hi, Josh.
Hi.
Let's sing it.
Together.
Together.
Okay.
When the people that you know don't like you, and your treasured friendships end, tune into this podcast. We're your artificial friends.
Yeah. Beauty.
That was real pleasant.
That was nice.
Good to have you, Joshua.
I'm glad to be here.
Joshua J. Fligger is here.
Oh, middle initial. Nice.
Is that right?
Yes.
It is Joshua J.
James,
yeah?
Yes.
Joshua James.
JJ.
JJ.
That's what they called me when I was a kid.
Is that right? Yep. JJ Fligger?
All of that and Captain Caveman.
JJ Fligger sounds like...
Well, no, I only had one neighbor, Mark Laverini. He called me JJ.
Did you, when you were a young boy, did you have a beard?
Except my wooden club. I didn't have a wooden club. I just had that big red bat. That was basically the same thing. You know that whiffle ball bat?
Yeah, I have one.
Yeah, you're only allowed to use it until you're like seven. Then you got to be like, no, you got to use the yellow bat now.
That made me giggle. Hey, is this a beer episode?
It is a beer episode.
Can I go first?
Yeah. I didn't even know this was... Oh,
I found something. I just was... It sounded interesting, and I thought that maybe you and I could try it. And
together?
Together. And I'm going to keep it... so that you don't have any preconceived.
Oh, you're hiding it, so I just got to try it first?
Yes.
This isn't like one of those ginger things that Sam got.
No, right? Okay. This is more a traditional lager.
All right. It's not going to be painful. It's going to be delicious.
Yeah, I mean, ooh. I hope so.
That's got a nice, it's like a very light ginger ale color. I like that.
Yeah.
And you said this is a Pilsner?
A lager, I believe.
A lager.
Yeah. So, here you go. Bottoms Cheers. Up. Let's see how this goes. What do you think?
That's the most watery beer I've ever drank. Is this Coors Light? Is this Coors Light? This is Girls Light, isn't it?
It's Gerstle non-alcoholic.
This is like ginger ale without the sweetness.
I saw it at Trader Joe's and I thought, hey, I wonder if that's anything good. If that could fool anybody for even a moment.
I was okay. I forget what the beer is called, but I was at Genghis Cohen one time and I ordered an NA beer and I didn't like. I just moved here and I never.
Right.
Yeah, I don't sell NA beer. Sell O'Doul's in Pennsylvania. That's about it. And I started drinking this NA beer. Like, I drank it all night. I'm like, this stuff's delicious. Like, you know, $40 later and I'm still don't have a buzz. I'm like, what the hell's going on? My friend's like, dude, that's non-alcoholic beer. I'm like, son of a bitch. Just wasted $40 on non-alcoholic beer.
That's glorious. It's not awful. But
I mean, if I was trying to kick the habit and I was going through the DTs, this would be okay.
That might be on your list.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's nothing great.
Yeah.
There are much better non-alcoholic beers.
This would be good kids' beer.
It's half a percent of alcohol.
Are kids allowed to drink NA beer?
No, I don't think it's a good idea.
Well, I'm not saying it's a good idea. Are they allowed? Is it legal?
Gateway brand. Non-alcoholic beer.
I started off with an O'Doul's.
Oh, good.
Why do I keep drinking this?
I don't know. Do you have a real beer? Yes. I have fresh glasses for us.
All right, here's... Do you have the bottle opener?
I do.
Here, why don't you do the honors.
Sorry about that, everybody.
All right, first of all, this wasn't... people keep writing in with your recommendations because I'm definitely saving them, but I need to go to like a BevMo to pick those up because the little mom and pop place that we go to is kind of they don't have the full library of beers that we like to search through. But I grabbed this was just a potluck. It looked funny. I like the name and I like the alcohol content.
Yeah, my God, everything about this is. Terrifying to me. Hey, it's made in Davis, California, where Larry Morgan lived for a while.
Oh, really?
That's what he told us. This is from Sudwerk, Sudwerk, Sudwerk Brewing, and it's called the Big Dipple, D-I-P-L.
Yeah, what does that mean?
It stands for Double Imperial Pale Lager.
There you go.
And so this is not an IPA.
It's a...
IPA is... India
pale ale. Right.
This is Double Imperial Pale Lager. And the hops in it, but it's very hoppy, so I imagine it's somewhere in that neighborhood. The hops, the names of the hops in there are Galaxy, Summer, and Simcoe. Alcohol by volume, 9%.
You know what? Why don't we just water it down with the NA stuff? It'll be a normal beer.
It's gonna even things out.
Exactly.
It's like
we had two beers.
There we go. Okay.
Start with an NA.
IBU. That's the International Bitterness Units.
Oh, like a Scoville unit with yeah.
Yes. Or what's the what
is
did,
that Scoville? Is the heat
did,
one?
Yeah. What did Adam Carolla have for people who stink? The hobo scale or something?
I don't know. I never heard that one. That's genius, though.
90 is the score. 90.
So it's like super hoppy?
I think it's hoppy. I hope it makes us hoppy. So anyway, that's I regretted that before I said it.
Nice.
Okay.
How's it smell?
Oh, I don't know yet. Oh, it smells hoppy.
That looks good.
Oh my. Yeah, that smells like that's gonna take a layer of brain cells right off the top of your head.
Yeah, I probably won't be tasting anything for a couple hours after this.
Well, this will be better than the scrubbing bubbles that are up your nose.
Yeah, true. Remember, might be maybe equivalent.
Maybe this is what exactly. Clears you up.
Cheers.
Cheers. Here's to you.
Oh, wow. It's not as...
It's not as much of a punch in the face as you thought.
Right. Yeah. It's not as like...
It doesn't stove your head right
but
in.
But it's there.
Oh, it's powerful.
It's more the back of the tongue instead of the front. You know what I mean? You feel like in the back, like it doesn't have that real...
That's what I always tell her.
Initial slap in the face from like some of those real hoppy beers. How was your week? How was your 420?
Oh, my 420 was fantastic. Yeah. I want to start by saying, by the way, Josh Fligger's here, JJ Fligger, and I'm Andy Chanley, Larry Morgan, and Sam Farmer are on assignment today. But I want to start by saying this. You know, I went to work at KCSN, 88.5 FM in LA here, having been at The Sound, 100.3 The Sound, until it went down in November. And most of the people listening to this probably know about that. And many people followed me over there, or heard about it, and started checking it out and listening, who had listened to The Sound and listened to this podcast.
Mm-hmm.
This last weekend, when people are listening to this, we had the first pledge drive I was a part of at 88.5 FM. And I had never done one of those before. I'd never worked for non-commercial, for public radio. And it's, if you're unfamiliar with it, and I can't imagine you are, it's where everybody comes on the radio and says, look, this is listener supported. We don't get tax money at all. We, because it's not an NPR station, right?
Mm-hmm.
We don't get tax money. We don't get any money from the students. We don't get any money from the school. And because of your donations in the past, we're totally self-reliant.
See, I didn't know it was 100% donations. I thought it was donations to subsidize some of the stuff from the school.
No, nothing from the school. Nothing from the school. There is like 20% of it, I think, is underwriting.
Okay.
You know, so there are some corporate sponsors that come along and say, we believe in this, so we're giving you money for it. And you'll hear them mentioned from time to time. But it is like 80% the listeners who support this. So I go on and I ask people for money. And it's an odd conversion. It's an odd change for people to get their head around if they've listened to commercial radio all their life. You know, if you've listened to the big radio stations in the 90s on the dial, 90s and 100s on the dial, all those are commercial stations pretty much.
Mm-hmm.
And so the non-coms are the ones down in the 80s down there.
Right.
And if you've listened to free radio, if you listen to commercial radio, then you haven't ever had to get your head around, why am I paying for radio?
Right.
And the thing is, and I was explaining to people that How many messages did you see, Josh, on Facebook of people saying, oh, gosh, if I could buy a station, if I won the lottery and could find a place for you and Uncle Joe right, and Rita and, right. and everybody, oh, that's what, how can we help? Who can we write to? All that kind of stuff. If I had a nickel for every one of them, I'd have enough money to buy a radio station yeah, to put Uncle Joe and Rita in.
Right.
And those are wonderful. It's wonderful to hear that sentiment. You know where it's coming from. You know it's coming from a nice place. You couldn't do shit about that.
Yeah.
Because it's one behemoth billion-dollar company buying another behemoth billion-dollar company. We then combined had too many radio stations for government limits. Oh, one had to be sold. There's nothing anyone could have done about it.
What I explain, what every time somebody comes up to me, and some people almost come up to me sometimes and try to give me grief over it. You know, I've gotten that a couple of times, like we were almost sellouts. And I'm like, this has nothing to do nothing. With the people that worked there. And it tears it's me so inside high. To be like,
it's so far above our pay
grade. There was nothing, there was literally nothing in the world. One person in that building could have done anything to prevent nothing. This from happening.
Absolutely nothing. And nothing any listener could have done
yeah.
to prevent it. The difference is with this station, with 88.5, there is something you can mm-hmm. do. Preventively, you can support it. So that somebody doesn't pull the plug later and say you can't pay your bills.
And here's a great I guess you should probably answer this question, but it's probably greater for you. It's a better, awesome, more thing for you that you instead of in the past are playing music to sell spots to get ratings to sell commercials.
Yes, yes.
Now you're playing music directly to the people that will be paying for your
yes,
station.
Yes.
So it's like it seems that would be yeah. easier and a more gratifying thing to do.
It really is. I say all of this, and I'll follow up with what you just brought up. I want to thank the people listening to this podcast and the people who were with the sound and followed me, because I got a printout of all the donations.
Oh, nice.
To thank people on air, and I'm reading, and I didn't get through all of them, but I want to say it now. I'd get a printout and would say, you know, Preston and so forth from Atwater Village, or you know, wanted to give this amount and become a sustaining member. And people would say in their little notes, from an artificial friend.
Oh, nice!
Or
nice.
I listened to the sound, and it made me so happy inside to know that the people that were following this. And followed the sound were supporting me through my first pledge drive, you know, this last weekend. So it was really, really, really cool. And thank you to everybody that did it from the bottom of my heart. It really meant a lot. And it's just, yeah, it's to your point a minute ago. All commercial media, and this is true for radio stations. And I talked about this with Larry and with newspapers like mm-hmm. Sam and the Times, and with television, NBC doesn't put shows on television. They don't put This Is Us on TV to entertain you.
Oh, yeah. I mean,
it has to entertain you for you to watch it, but that's not their purpose. Their purpose is to make money.
Mm-hmm.
And like when I worked in college, I was managing editor of a pretty big newspaper. It was a million-dollar organization. We put out 20,000 issues a day, and it was a daily newspaper, bigger than most city, you know, newspapers, small city newspapers. And the advertising department would come to me with a layout in the afternoon, and that layout was like whatever, 16, 24 sheets, whatever it was, and it would have blocked out where they were putting ads. And the space that was left is where I could put stories.
Right, right.
So the LA Times isn't there to inform you.
Oh, totally.
It's there to make money. And the way they do it is, and that's not a knock on the journalists there, because their job is, yes, to inform you and to entertain you. And they do it very, very well. But the purpose of the newspaper, it's a money-making venture.
Yeah, it all is. I mean, nobody starts it off to be like, I'm just going to create something to inform people.
Right.
And then I'm right. going to work for free, and this is going to be, exactly. I'm going to get the best reporters, unbiased, all this, and it's all going to be free, and we're all going to work for free, and it's going to be great.
Right.
And it's like, no. It doesn't, no media works like
exactly.
that.
Exactly. So radio is the same kind of thing. The sound, as well-intentioned as the people who worked there were, mm-hmm. It was owned by a publicly traded company, and their goal was to maximize profits. That's our free enterprise system. That's capitalism.
Right.
And there's nothing wrong with that. But in order to do that, there is a definite mindset among all corporate radio, for the most part, that then what you have to do is play very familiar music.
Can I ask you a question?
What?
Are you just happy you don't have to deal with that shit anymore?
I'm so happy.
You gotta be.
Everybody in that building loves music.
Yeah. That's what I'm saying. It's like, it's literally, when you walk in, you like look back and go, this is what it was like 40 years ago. It's about music. And right. this is like, I don't know any radio station. I mean, even at the Sound, we said we're all about the music. It really wasn't, we're a radio station. It can't be all about the music. We have to provide numbers to the advertisers.
Exactly.
But this is, you're catering to the listener.
Yeah, this is all about the listener, and it's all about playing music. And I had people, writing in messages during the pledge drive saying things like, you just played Florence and the Machine doing Tiny Dancer. Yes, I'm signing my check. And
I almost find it a turn on too when I hear a song that I hate, because it's like, at least you tried. You know what I mean?
Right.
I'd rather hear a song that I hadn't heard that I'm like, whatever. I'll be more likely to sit through that than to listen to Freebird for the 7,000th time.
That's just it. And not to turn this into a pledge drive. That's not what I'm trying to do. But
go ahead and pledge.
833-885-8850 is the number.
We're standing by. Go ahead.
Please call now.
I'll make your credit cards.
885FM.org. Thank you very much. $8.85 a month is all you need for a sustaining membership and some wonderful swag.
Go ahead. Give me your checking account and your mother's maiden name, please.
But no, seriously, donate. I was saying this, and it's so true that at the Sound, and other places I've worked, where you're hearing, what's an example?
While My Guitar Gently Weeps.
Well, even While My Guitar Gently Weeps, there are moments of it that I can.
Yeah,
always,
I know, but still, it's
into.
One of those ones where it's like,
where it's
Stairway
really,
to Heaven.
You
know what's great? Don't listen. Here's what I did. Don't listen to Stairway to Heaven for 10 years.
Right.
Then listen to it, and you're like, holy shit, this song's awesome.
It's amazing. Exactly. There were many times at the Sound where I would turn down the volume in the control room to do other shit. Because I know that song. I know it inside and out. But that's what the ratings environment requires.
Right.
Because if you're either a station that plays older music or you're a station that plays brand new music. If you're KISS FM and you're playing all new music, then you're playing that music over and over and over and over and over. You're repeating it every 70 minutes.
Here's what,
it's really top 30, top 25, and you're repeating that stuff. And what you're hoping for, because there's two ways to get ratings, essentially, to simplify it, is time spent listening, people that listen for a long time, or occasions of listening, what they call cum. So what they're hoping for on KISS FM with the top 40 radio is that people will just tune in and they'll listen for a half hour to hear the hits, to get up to date on what's hot today,
right,
and then move on. With a station that plays older music, what you're hoping for is that people will listen for an entire day, for their entire work day, that it'll be...
And that's why they have those, every hour on the hour, $200, call in, and first
exactly.
caller at the 17 minutes after the hour, we're going to take
call. You're on the payroll!
That's right. Yeah. Exactly. Yeah. The payroll! Yeah, that was a fun contest.
Yeah, but... With the way the ratings were figured, what they figured out when they started making people carry around those little pager things that picked up the signal that each radio station sends out, what they realized was that people would say, oh, I like to listen to some experimental music on Morning Becomes Eclectic, and you know, I like to listen to what was that? Indie 103.1. That's what I listen to all the time. Well, what they found out when they switched over to those little pager thingies, people would say that shit, but in reality, they wanted to hear something familiar when they're driving their kids to soccer practice and somebody cuts them off and they're, you know.
Here's I had a friend one time bitch at me about when I was working in sound. They're like, you guys play the same old crap. I've listened to your station all the time and it's the same old crap. And I wish, you know, why do they even do that? Why? I don't understand. And I said, listen, and this might be a very cynical way to look at this, but I look at as radio as like, okay, the popular radio stations are your Burger Kings and your McDonald's. Now, they're going to be serving very familiar things to a lot of people.
Well, that's
and
exactly
mass,
it.
And then, yes. And then you go over, and then you have the people that are dying for real food or real music, and then that's more like the steakhouses and stuff like that. That's where you're not going to get as many.
The fine dining.
Fine dining, like Sizzler.
Mm. Yes, it's well, I always use the term, it's the difference in broadcasting and narrow casting.
Oh, yeah.
If you're trying to please a broad number of people, you're going to play what is palatable to
right.
the largest cross-section of that audience.
Right.
You're going to play what is least objectionable to those people. And anything you play outside those lines is taking a risk.
And those program directors, too, you even throw one curveball in there. Their brains go, well, I just lost 6,000 listeners because that might be a Frank Zappa song that they're not familiar
with.
Yeah,
that's something like that.
Yeah, exactly.
Nobody knows Montana. They don't want to hear this. Yeah. So that's, again, not to impugn those people and what they're trying to do.
No.
That it's a business.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what they've learned. It's how it's been proven that they can achieve that success is by adhering to those limitations. And so by comparison, the 88.5 is it's public radio, and it's supported by people, and it's by people who want to hear something different mm-hmm. and be challenged a little bit, but not just for the sake of educating people about music. Not just if you're in the business of just educating people about music and your radio station, you're fucked.
Yeah.
Because
and you just come off a little snooty.
Yeah. Nobody wants to go to school.
Live version from 1963.
Yeah.
It's only been on one. It was in unlimited or unreleased vinyl. Blah, blah, blah. Whatever. I don't care.
What people want is to have someone curating music for them. And I kind of hate that term because I think it sounds stodgy, but they want someone DJing to them. Mm-hmm. And playing great stuff. And so if you're, and here's the thing, the people that listen to the sound, the most listeners who really enjoyed, you know, hearing All Along the Watchtower and, you know, the 60s rock standards.
Right.
And you notice we pretty much even stopped playing the Beatles for the most part at the sound at the end, unless it was from
Abbey Road
or White Album. And I mean, that was
My Guitar Jones.
Yeah. Everything before that sounded like an oldie.
Mm.
And we sounded older than K Earth when we were playing stuff like that. So that audience that grew up with that music,
yeah.
They're 60 plus.
I know.
Many of them. And if you're over 60 and the sound goes away, and KLOS is playing more new music.
They're, yeah.
More newer
they're
music.
They're getting more into the 90s.
Right. And K-Earth is playing, they don't play anything prior to 1970 anymore. And they're playing stuff in the 90s themselves. So if you're 60 plus and the sound went away, you're out to sea. You've got a couple of choices. You can
Spotify.
You pay for Spotify or do the free one and listen to some ads.
Yeah, but if you're over 60, you're not going to understand.
You're not going to do Spotify. You're going to
set your VCR.
You can get XM in your car
right.
and pay $24 a month for that.
I think my old man does that.
But you pay like 20 yeah. some ridiculous amount of money.
I think they did that, and then he switched over to Amazon.
Prime
maybe because he's got the what's the girl's name the thing you talk
Alexa.
To yeah Alexa and he that's all his
great but if you're in your car you have a few choices you can stream those things and pay for them, or you could listen to public radio, a station like 85, where you hear different stuff and you're challenged a little bit by it. You've got the choice of, do you want to get old? Do you want to just, are you throwing in the towel and saying, yep, I'm, while my guitar gently sleeps and light my fire, that's good enough for me. I'm going to sleep on that pillow and I'm just going to let the worms crawl in and I'm done. Or
Do you got a little buzz going?
Yeah, a little bit. You want more?
This is good.
It's pretty good.
This is good. I like a good morning buzz. All right, but go ahead. Sorry, I didn't cut off.
So you got the choice of just getting old and saying, I'm done with new music. And
it's too loud. You're too old.
Or you can turn around. And I understand, though, but it's a weird thing that I just realized this week. Getting people who have never paid for radio and you don't have to. You can just listen for free. You can be a. That's the thing is, there's no obligation to do it. You're not obliged to do it. It's like walking by that busker, you know, the guy that's playing guitar, who's playing really good, man. He's wailing on it, and you're like, what are you doing here, dude?
I always
wonder.
But here's the deal with those guys. I always wonder. I'm like, does this guy know like one song? And he plays the same thing. He's so good at it that he just recycles. Because you only see him for like 30 seconds, and then you're like, hey, here's $2. I'm gonna go. And then the next day, you're like, wait a second, you were playing that same solo yesterday.
But some of it, every now and then, you walk by one who's really good. Yes, yeah. And you're like, God, I wish I had a dollar to put in there, but I don't. And you still listen to the song and like clap for him and walk on. But if you would have had a dollar, you probably would have thrown it in there. And it's that kind of thing, getting your head around, well, you know what?
I don't have a lot of dough,
but I listen to this for an hour every day on my way to work and an hour on the way home. And I could, they'll give me a t-shirt for it and whatever. You know what? I look at it as
it's just another service, and people are willing to pay for a good service. Look at everything we're doing now with Uber and all that. People are like, this is great. I'll pay. If you come up with a good idea that I like, people will pay for it.
Yeah.
And that works in radio. And that's basically what you're doing. We're playing songs that stray away from the top 40 of any genre that you hear. And we're going to play it the way that we like it and the way you like it. And if you want, if this is the stuff you're into, throw a buck our way, throw a couple bucks our way. And we'll do the best we can to keep doing what we can.
We're living in an a la carte world.
Yeah.
Anymore. You pay for the individual things you want. People don't have, a lot of people don't get DirecTV or, you know, Comcast anymore. They're like, fuck it. I don't want that.
Right.
I don't need Bravo 3.
Well, yeah, think about this. What was the very first thing to go? The landline telephone.
Right. I still have one.
I haven't had one in a decade.
I got to get rid of it. I keep forgetting to do it.
It's AT&T, pointless.
I'm calling you today, bitch.
You're done.
you're getting a Dear John from me today.
Hey, but guess what?
What?
I saved this for you. I took a picture of it because it was probably, maybe, the most important business transaction I ever took in my life. Really? And I took a photo of it, and I wanted to see if you could tell me what that is.
Let me see here. My man, you have purchased what looks like a quality toilet seat.
And?
What is a Slim Jim?
Knock that off my bucket list. Beef jerky and a toilet seat in one transaction.
Is this at the DIY
store? Yeah. Like, the guy was ringing me up and I took a picture of my toilet seat and a piece of beef jerky.
There's a DIY in Burbank on Magnolia. And there's cats in there.
Really?
They have cats in there. They live there.
They're like store cats.
They're the store mousers. It's really great. I love it.
Yeah.
Keeps the rats out of the bird seat.
Oh, so I'm in the toilet seat section, right? And I found the toilet with a light on it.
Oh.
And I'm sitting there and I'm like trying to talk myself out of buying the lit toilet seat. All right. So it was $50. And I'm like, And I looked to the right, and that's just like the normal run of the mill toilet seat. And it was like $35.
Yeah.
And I started to go, well, for $15, I never have to worry about turning the light on again. And this is awesome. You know what I mean? And I'm sitting there thinking, I had my hands on it. And then I just happened to glance down. And then there was another one. I don't know why this one, the one was 35, but like the normal standard run of the mill one was $20. And I was like, all right, now
you're out of it.
Yeah, exactly. But I'm like, if they were $35, I'd have been home with a lit toilet seat right now.
It's weird how that sets your economy. Just whatever prices they happen to have on shit. That's, yeah, that's
I find the cheapest the most expensive, and then like whatever's in the middle, that means that's where I'm at.
Oh, that's great.
Very average.
Speaking of, I think the rest of this is going to be about home improvement. And,
okay.
And it doesn't have to be, but I've got a couple of things I wanted to talk to you about.
Yeah,
You arrived at my home.
Yes.
And you promptly went back to the back of my lot.
To the slab.
To the slab to check out the foundation for my
solid
new
look good.
Shed.
Look good. How excited are you?
Pretty excited.
The ball is officially moving. There's no turning back now.
No, not now.
Unless you just want to live with a foundation back there. For
yeah,
the rest
I could
of your
do
life.
That. I suppose
yeah, that'd be fun.
But yeah, I went and got. I feel like we talked about this. Did we talk about this already a little
I
bit?
Think, yeah, I think between me and you and you and Larry, we've talked about this shit. I can feel Larry just getting up and walking away from the podcast right now, going to his fridge to get something to eat.
But it was in place last week, wasn't it?
Yeah, yeah.
Did you look at it last week?
No, you did. I think you did it Sunday or Monday.
Is that right?
Yeah, and I was in here Saturday because you texted me. Yeah, it was like Monday, I think.
Yeah, maybe. So you haven't seen it.
No, I haven't
until
seen
today.
It. I saw the slab, but I didn't see the foundation.
Yeah, but there's pressure treated wood out there.
Now, how did you get the bolts down? Did you have to sink anchors in there?
Oh, that was the
there?
Thing. I had to get masonry anchors. Bits. Yeah. I went through like four masonry bits to drill eight holes. And you have to drill down in there. And I had a squirt bottle with water because it got hot, man. It was smoking. So you keep the hole cool. You got to keep your bit cool, baby. and drilled down in there about 2 inches and then took what looks like a 6-inch threaded bolt, but there wasn't a bolt head on it. There was a like a cone. It like flattened out to went from thin to wide
tapered.
At the bottom. Tapered, yeah. And then there's a collar around it. That's split ring collar, and you take that and you hammer it down into the hole, into the tight fit, right?
Yeah.
And then when you bolt the wood
it
down on it,
expands it.
It the that collar that's flanged pushes
it's a lot.
It pushes out
flanging
that,
collars.
That bolt pushes out the collar around it, and it tightens inside the hole, and that pressure keeps it stuck in there.
So it's like a reverse Chinese finger trap.
Exactly. It's Chinese handcuffs.
I should basically just dumb up everything. Like, just read all the kinds of these science books, figure it out, and be like, here's how you dumb this up.
I got to go over to Anna Walton. Hey, you got the Chinese handcuffs?
You got those
bolts?
Reverse concrete finger traps? Yeah, me too.
Hey, good dipple.
That stuff's good. I like it. I could drink a couple of those.
Yeah, and that's about it.
Yeah.
So that's all I've got done, and I've got much more work to do on it, and I don't know when I'm going to get it done.
Yeah,
but,
we start. I think we did a cliffhanger last time. It was about the tool bench or the workbench.
Oh, right. Did you purchase a tool
bench?
No,
we didn't. We didn't yet. It's still happening. I keep switching areas where I want to put it, and measurements keep changing.
Oh.
And it's one of those. And plus, it's my wife's birthday this week, so I'm putting that on the back
Happy
burner.
Happy birthday, Cindy!
Yeah, she's up there now.
Oh yeah, is it a big
she's
round?
Two, no, she's
round
two,
number.
Only she's 2 weeks younger than me.
How
so
old
she's
are you?
28. No, happy birthday, baby!
Nice.
You're the best.
Nice.
Yeah, she's a sweetheart. She has to be put up my dumb ass.
Yeah, I think.
Moving
on to the other side of the yard. Or did you have another? Did you have
well,
another
no,
hand? No. Oh, but, with the you've made a decision or not?
I think I'm going to get one.
Are you going to get the one I got?
Let's tell them. In a weird coincidence, after we recorded the show last time,
right.
I said, Andy, let me go look. Let me see your workbench because I want to see the dimensions and just what you have.
Sure.
And he took me out back, and it was pretty much the exact same one that
same
I was
company,
looking at
same
online.
Company, just different color.
Yeah.
Of the one that he was looking
at. Yeah. So I think that probably will
I
be
did
the
a
one.
Lot of. I will compare shit to the nth degree and then.
You know what
make
sold
a
me on it? You know what sold me on it?
What?
Is the power strip and light.
The power strip and light.
That's
is,
huge.
Is great. It's great. And then the drawer underneath, and it's. It's pretty solid, man. For like $230, it was.
Well, that that's hard to tell
solid.
Online. You know
it's
what I mean? But like seeing
and
your
I was really impressed with the strength of it. So yeah, it's a good one. I think that you'll be happy with it.
So now let's move on to a garden.
The other side of the yard, we put in our veggies this last week.
And you got like three little gardens going.
Three
over there,
raised
right?
beds. They're 4 feet square. I built them myself.
What's the benefit of having a raised bed garden? Well, just because you got to bend over less.
Well, there's that. I guess that's one thing.
I mean, that's the way I look at it.
The other thing is it's confined a little bit so that you don't have wide expanse of just dirt to fill in. In other words, I go to buy raised bed topsoil.
There's a specific raised bed topsoil?
Yeah, they'll have,
Oh, okay.
Yeah. It doesn't have to be, but
made it.
It has, it's enriched with manure and, guano and things.
Guano. I love that fruit.
So,
I love those smoothies.
I'll have a guano passion fruit and...
Hey, is that guano good for memory? I'll have one of those.
I'll have a double guano smoothie and some. Give me a shot of the wheatgrass.
Double guano.
A guano passion. I got a guano passion.
One of those stupid little. One of those little. Those like pill things. You remember those? Those drinks with the. With the berries in it that looked like salmon eggs. What are those things called?
Soba? No.
No, those are noodles. Subies?
Boba.
Boba. I have a guana boba, please. It's bird shit and rabbit pellets.
looks like translucent scat.
Which is my jazz band's name. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome. Translucent scat.
Boom, doom, doom, there's doom. The title of the podcast.
Speaking of translucent scat, why do dogs poop white poop? How does it get white? Have you ever wondered that?
No, I do not know.
I wonder if I should conduct an experiment. Find a dog turd and then poop right beside it and then compare it like a week later.
Do you know?
But why does dog poop turn white?
Well, let me.
It's like chalk.
I wonder if it's. There's a.
Is it their diet?
It's the diet, I'm sure. And I bet it has something to do with what is in the kibble, like bone meal. Like, bone meal, I would imagine.
Well, if I eat jello, I'm not shitting white.
Well, here's the interesting thing. I just saw this, and some people would hear this and say, duh. But there was a thing on CNN.com or whatever. They were talking about if you lose.
Still laughing at translucent.
If you lose 10 pounds,
uh-huh.
8.4 of those pounds, 1.6 of those pounds, you will... sweat out your body, right? You'll sweat it out. But, or excrete. 8.4 pounds of the 10 pounds you lost, you breathe it out.
What do you mean breathe it out?
It because fat...
is energy.
Fat is broken down. Fat is made up of carbon, hydrogen, and oxygen, CHO. So you break that down.
It's spelled FAT.
You burn it. And you end up with water, sweat,
all right,
and carbon dioxide.
Oh, I never even thought about that.
So it's passed out your lungs.
So
you breathe out pounds and pounds of carbon dioxide
every day. So we're just terrible polluters.
And so that is, Well, no, the plants love it.
Yeah.
But when you lose weight, if you lose 10 pounds, like 8.4 of those pounds are breathed.
That's out. I never even
Isn't
thought
that
about
crazy?
That. I never even thought about
it's
that.
It's absolutely way. Nuts to me.
Never thought about that.
But
hey,
the stuff that you excrete, the stuff that you poop,
yeah,
is just the fiber. It's just the solids, the dietary fiber that your body that you either can't turn into carbon dioxide or sweat.
Just
it's everything you can't sweat or breathe out
or
is what's
indigestible. Yeah, stuff that's indigestible. Yeah,
it goes, what's
that you poop? Have you tried any more NSNG stuff? I know.
Yeah.
I know. I gave you a couple recipes, and the one you tried wasn't really one of my favorites. I'm curious on what your take on it was.
The eggplant lasagna was dynamite.
Okay.
That was
good.
Everybody
I wasn't sure.
That.
I wasn't sure if you'd like that. It wasn't to me that wasn't
great.
Really one of my favorites.
Oh, we loved it. We loved it.
Did you try the pizza crust yet?
Yeah.
You didn't like it?
And I did. I did like it. I messed up one of the number one. I made a double batch because you said to make a double batch
because they're only 12 inches.
I had to feed five people.
Yeah,
and it ended up like 2 12-inch pieces.
Yeah,
I got to make more.
Right,
and I made like a third one, and it that was the one that I did right.
Yeah,
I mismeasured on the first.
But
two.
Now that you know,
now that I know, yeah, it'll do. It'll do, and I
it's
know
better, it's
I
better than the cauliflower,
there's
right?
Loads of cheese in that thing.
Well, yeah, that's because it's the NSNG thing. But
anyway, getting back to the planting.
Oh yeah, sorry.
The raised beds. The question you asked. The reason is then if I go and buy like a few bags of topsoil, and I just put that on top in that box, I only have to cover 16 square feet for the box, not an entire patch of my yard that's garden.
Well, yeah, but I mean. It's the same concept. Just dig a square hole.
It looks
hole.
Neater, Josh. Just get over it. Jesus.
I was going to say, it's better on the back.
But it also what it does is gives drainage.
I didn't know if there was a certain reason
there,
for
there
it.
There are many reasons. It also provides drainage.
Yeah.
So that you know the water can go through and then have...
and it probably keeps away bugs that can't jump.
It does that. Yeah, worms cannot,
no.
cannot leap.
You put like that little shelf on the edge so they get to the top and it's like they don't know what to do. They just fall back down the hill and they're like, oh shit.
Worms can't jump.
Yep.
So that's the reason I have those. They're easy to build too. I just went and bought 2x12 planks.
Yeah.
2x12x16. Bought 3 of them and asked them to pre-cut them at the store. So I had 12 4-foot sections of 1x12 or 2x12. And took those home and I got corner brackets with lag bolts for each of them. And I just set them together parquet style, one to the and put them together like that and put screws in on the ends as well and put them in there. They're
no,
solid.
Looks good. Looks
They're
good.
Solid.
Did you do something different this year? Because I thought last year you had like a lattice that was like a cover lattice or something. Didn't you do tomatoes differently?
Still out there.
Okay. Maybe I did.
It looks
was
like
that the triangle thing?
No, that's a... Excuse me. This gas, the beer is gassy.
A little gassy.
No, I made an A-frame trellis last year for bush beans. And the beans it was so goddamn hot in the valley.
What are
in the
bush
valley.
Beans?
Well, instead of pole beans. Pole beans will trellis up.
Yeah, but I mean, are they green beans? Like,
yeah.
What? Okay.
Yeah, like green beans. And the plants didn't do that well, so they didn't trellis very well. But this year I decided to use that A-frame trellis on some cucumbers. And a little
That's what we're going to do. We're doing cucumbers and then... Because Owen likes cucumbers, and so it's like, well, we're getting him involved, and he gets to pick out, and he'll be able to water.
Nice.
And then in another planter, I'm bouncing off I'm either going to do jalapenos, some jalapenos, or some serrano peppers.
Jalapenos?
Because I figure the serranos, at least, I can, if I don't use them, I can dry them.
Right.
And then that's something I could use for the rest of the year. I might not get a huge yield, but it's like... this is something I can use. Do you do a lot of herbs?
Oh yeah, we've got rosemary and sage out there. I love sage. And what I'm thinking of, and I have some basil. I'm thinking about like over here by the house. There's a little plot that I need to fix the bricks around it.
Mm-hmm.
But it would be neat to have like a little herb garden there, closer to the kitchen. Where right. I need some parsley. Yeah. Let me just pop out.
I tried growing herbs last year, and it They just butchered them.
By the
way,
I grew
cilantro and
why?
Because I use a shitload of cilantro.
Do you?
Oh yeah, I use cilantro in everything.
Really?
Yeah.
I don't love cilantro.
I used to. Here's the problem with it is I find in a lot of Mexican foods they overuse it.
Uh-huh. And Filipino.
Yeah, but I've come to really like it. But not when it's overdone, then I'm like, it feels like you just sprinkled grass over all everything.
It's yeah.
Like, but on the other hand, if you do it just right, fresh cilantro, ugh.
Yeah?
Yeah, so good. So
I tell you, I've got tomatoes planted and then one basil plant.
Yeah.
I'm telling you.
Yes. Get some mozzarella.
A caprese salad with fresh basil and get some fresh of that
vinegar.
Tomatoes.
Yeah, get some of that red wine vinegar.
You know, what you do is get the reduction.
They actually sell one that's like all ready to go.
It's so good. Yeah, they have
it's a little thick too. You know what I mean? It's like,
drizzle that back and forth over. Yeah, and a little salt and pepper.
That's a perfect summer snack. Out of Corona.
That's the best.
So good.
By the way, you didn't see the beer fridge. I didn't want you to see it because I had the Gerstle non-alcoholic. So we've got the beer fridge going.
Ooh. Yeah, you know what I was thinking what I should do? I got a bunch of recommendations from listeners, and I have to go to BevMo because they're
right.
Some of them are just, you know, and I appreciate it. Bring on the recommendations. I dig it. It's just that
Total Wine and More. Yeah.
Yeah. Or some of those. And I just need to go and stock up. So maybe I'll do that and then come and put them in like a black porn bag in your fridge and you're not allowed to touch them and we'll just break one out.
All right.
So, hey.
Daddy, what is that? It's a black porn bag, son.
That's what we call a black porn bag. When you grow up, you'll understand. So it'll be a late Friday night, and you're going to go home alone. So what you're going to do?
What you're going to need to do?
Me and you exchanged some texts this week, and one of them was just kind of left up in the air. I don't know if we can talk about. Remember the picture I sent?
Let me see.
All right, so basically this is going to be this week in Circus Peanuts. Remember?
Oh, you sent that to the group.
Oh, okay, sorry.
Yes.
You kind of left me hanging there.
With what?
You said...
Oh, that was just I was kidding. He's like,
I thought there was I was waiting for something. All right, so basically I went into a Walgreens, and right in the very first thing I see is this... that shelf of crap candy, you know what I mean? The one that it's all generic. It's got like the peach circles and the spice drops and everything. And it's all fully loaded. And the very first thing I think of is I'm going to take a picture of me flipping off some Circus Peanuts. This is going to be hilarious. and then I realized, okay, so I'll continue this later. So then I'm looking, I'm scanning the thing and they're all fully loaded right up to the edge. And I get to the Circus Peanuts, empty.
Empty. Well, it's because
hell is going on with this country?
They were on sale, 3 for $4.
The whole thing was loaded, and the Circus Peanuts were gone.
It's good through today, by the way. You maybe go back and see if they brought some B stock.
It was like somebody punched me in the stomach. I was like, why?
What you wrote was Circus Peanut sold out. Who in the hell is buying this shit? And I wrote, you'll find out soon. I have a plan.
Yeah. And I was like, what's the plan? I don't know what's going on.
The inference was that I was buying all the Circus Peanuts.
Oh, okay. So you know what I was thinking about doing? Is I'm just going to maybe create my own Facebook page of me flipping off Circus Peanuts. And document each location so everybody knows... Don't go to this place because they sell Circus Peanuts.
Did you notice on your artificial friends, the Facebook page, how polarizing a topic this is?
I know. I'm so disappointed in our listeners.
So many people.
I was so mad. I'm just like, no, you can't like Circus Peanuts.
So many people love them. So many people find
it. So confusing.
It's part of the fabric of their lives.
What was the one comment? It was like, I hate these things, but yet I eat them every single time. I hate them, but yet I love them. These were my favorite thing was Sam Farmer's like Like, I don't eat any candy that I have to dust off or something like that. Yeah, that was maybe we're gonna that'll be a feature. Oh, here's the other thing. So I thought about this. So I was in the grocery store thinking about how much I hate Circus Peanuts. Uh-huh. And I was like, you know, there's a lot of things out there that I hate.
I was going to say not to turn into Andy Rooney,
but I am going to get a little Andy Rooney here. There's things out there that there's no reason for them to be there. And they're always there, and they baffle me. And one of them is the circus peanut, and I found out another one.
What's that?
The Archie comic. What the fuck? Who buys? They're always there, and they're like $4, and you're like, whoa, what's Jughead going to do this week? I mean, it's not funny. I don't understand what it is. Is it a romance? Is it funny? It's not funny, and it's not a romance. It's Betty and the redhead and Archie and Jughead, and it's been 90 years, and they're still in high school. And what? Why is he wearing a crown? It's just so stupid. It infuriates me.
Betty's pretty cute, though.
But
I imagine there's probably dudes that buy the comic just to kind of jerk off on Betty. Ugh.
See, those people need to go to jail. They need to round them up.
Hey, honey, we got a registered defender that just, yep. I just.
You know what? They should get like that, like what was the dude that catches the child molesters or whatever that comes to their house? What's that guy's name?
Catch a Predator?
Yeah. We should do to catch an Archie buyer. Just set out and be like, hey, set up a go to Vaughn's and put out a thing to Archie. And then when they buy him, be like, in the parking lot, be like, excuse me, sir. You bought a
Archie. You slap
Archie
the cuffs on him and perp walk him out of there?
Well, no. First we interview him and talk why he bought Archie and then like shame him. And then be like, no, you're free to go. And then that's when the Archie cops come and just stuff him in the back of a white van. You never see him from me. Seriously, though. These things are always there. Who buys them? Have you ever seen even somebody grab one and glance at me like, oh, let's see what's going on this week. Oh, well, there's dirt Riverdale. Oh.
I will give you that I don't know if I could carry on a meaningful conversation with someone who relishes Archie. It's like Garfield or Ziggy.
Yeah, but you know what? Garfield hates Mondays. I can relate. and he loves lasagna. Lasagna's pretty kick-ass.
What's the Simpsons that Mr. Burns... I was reading the paper, and he puts it down. He's like, "Oh, Ziggy, will you ever win?"
Here's another one. Now you got me all fired up. Family Circus.
Oh, dude.
Is that just garbage?
No, it's awful. You know what I used to do with it?
How is that still in newspapers?
I have no idea. Bill Keane died decades ago.
If you cut out Family Circus and hang it up anywhere in your house, punch yourself in the face.
I used to, with Family Circus, I hated it so badly. So badly, I would cut it out of the paper, white out what it actually said, and would put my own caption on it.
I think we need to start doing this.
Glorious. I don't have them anymore, but they were. I could have been sued by the Keene family, I'm sure, if they would have been published in any way.
I remember, when I'm like 12 or something, like in the wheelhouse of Sunday comics, you know what I mean? Like this is my shit going down right now. I'd get to this Family Circus and be like, what? It's like unfunny Sunday school in comics. I don't understand it.
Here was my favorite one. Daddy's taking Father's Day off, so little Billy is going to write this one, and he writes it backwards letters and all that kind of shit. It's like, oh, God, dude, seriously?
You get Father's Day once a year, but once a week, we get Sunday.
It's like the running joke the comedian Pat Paulson used to do of running for president. It's like, seriously? Are we pulling that?
It's like they took, like I just see a bunch of real writers, and they go, and then there's like the guy that goes and gets coffee, and they're like, "Okay, here's your job today. We want you to go in the kitchen. They give him like a yellow tablet that has like scribbles on it or something. You know, they give him like a back of a menu. And they're like, "Okay, go right in there and write us a good Family Circus." And he just goes in there and writes something, like the dumbest thing that he can think of. And they're like, okay, thanks. And they just give it to the editor and somebody draws it up and they're like, okay, that takes up 4x4.
Maybe they just need maybe that's a like better
2.5 inches by 2.5 inches that we don't have to sell now.
A better writer is all they need.
Because it's the worst.
Because the mom, let's be honest.
Who do you
the
think?
Mom, the mom in Family Circus. Pretty hot.
She's curvy.
Yeah, she's got that. She's got thin waist, pixie cut hair.
Yeah, she's got. She does have a mom. Hair. She does have a mom do though.
Oh, but yeah, but no, she's got that long.
Who do you think would win in a fight between Heathcliff and Garfield? Who was round first?
I don't know. I'd hope they both die.
They both die. John buries him. Goes on, becomes super successful guy.
God, I hate it.
oh, good stuff.
It was a nice... Thank you for your hatred.
You know what I'm going to do?
You should start off an offshoot. Things I Hate by John.
Or just, it's called Why. Like, you know, why? It's just, I don't understand. It's my editorial.
It should have a picture of a man with his fist clenched looking up at the sky.
And I film it every week at my desk in my little library behind me. Why? Why do we have Archie comics?
I love it. I love it.
All right, when they pop into my head, I'll bring them up.
Sounds good.
It's all inspired by the Circus Peanut.
Thanks, Circus Peanut. You are useful.
You're the worst thing ever.
But you can thank it for this.
Yeah, I will never.
Wouldn't it be great? Wouldn't it be great? Here would be the most fantastic poetic justice.
What? If I choke on a Circus Peanut?
No. If this hatred of the Circus Peanut led you to launch something like this, like a website that becomes internationally famous, a smash hit all around the world, people tune in just to hear the shit that you call bullshit on. It makes you millions of dollars, and you owe it all to the Circus Peanut. That would be amazing.
The website is literally called the Circus Peanut. Yeah. Maybe we can do it.
And on your
I'm just
going to
start making a list.
On your tombstone, there would be an etching of a Circus Peanut.
And the
epitaph.
My tombstone's just orange. It just doesn't make sense. Like the Circus Peanuts. It's and orange
and
with
it's a banana
peanut.
Flavored. Yeah,
you can lick it. Actually, God. That's what I want my tombstone to say is you can lick it. Go ahead.
Yeah. I remember hearing a Benny Hill one time. You ever watch
Benny? Oh, I love Benny Hill.
One time he stops and tells us little stories in between. He said, he was talking about a little Irish boy, little Irish Billy. He was very fond of a lassie who in town, and he went to Shyla and he said, "Oh, Shyla, I like you very much." And there was an awkward pause, and she tried to pick up the conversation and turned to little Billy and said, "Billy, have you ever kissed the Blarney Stone?" He said, "Oh, I fear, my lass, I have not." "Oh, tis a shame, Billy." "And why is that, my lass?" "Because I've never kissed the Blarney Stone, and I thought that perhaps if you had kissed the Blarney Stone, perhaps kissing you would be second best." Billy thought about it for a moment. He says, "Aye, my dear, it's true, I've never kissed the Blarney Stone, but I did sit on it once." Such a dirty old man.
Oh, that was a great show.
He was the best. Name of the song?
Oh, I have no idea.
Yakety Sax, isn't it?
No.
Isn't that Yakety Sax? Is that Yakety Sax?
I'm thinking of Yakety Yak, Don't Talk About It. I don't know. I don't know what the name of that song is.
I think it's Yakety Sax. We'll find out.
Great.
I know Aaron is going to tag it.
Like a 10-year-old watching girls in lingerie run around at double speed.
Oh, yeah, double speed, yep. Bouncing around in just huge spherical pits.
Exactly. Scantily clad nurses. And he's like dressed as a half a horse.
When Jimmy Kimmel and Adam Carolla did the man show and it ended with the trampoline girls. What were they called? The Juggies. Yeah. now, could you be a Jughead for the Juggies?
Jughead. You know what Jughead? What's Jughead doing? What do you think Jughead's doing now?
Jughead has a crown, right?
Jughead is an alcoholic.
Is he the one with the crown?
Yes. Jughead is unmarried, an alcoholic, and... He's a mechanic.
Why didn't they call
and he's got fired from a bunch. Not saying that mechanics are bad, but he's been fired like 5 or 6 times. He can't get his shit together because he's wearing a stupid crown, and then he lives in a small town, and everybody calls him Jughead, and he's pissed.
But why doesn't
he's
he have
a bar fight?
Why
tonight.
Doesn't he have a jug on his head? It's a crown. Why isn't he crowned?
One of my best, one of my really good friends is a state police detective, and we named him. He was called Jughead. I can't even start telling stories about that guy.
In the career?
No, he's. I don't know what he's. I know what he's doing. I'm not saying anything more. I can't say anything more.
And Josh was never heard from again. Josh, how can people get a hold of you?
Hey, oh, you know what? Real quick, let's do. I want to do a couple things before we bail out
because absolutely.
Last week we didn't go. So let's. I want to read a couple emails.
Oh right, we
just so we know.
We forgot to do it last time.
That we're getting. I'm totally reading all these people. So you know, if I don't get back to you, trust me.
It just meant you bored him.
Yeah. So I'm just gonna go through some of these other ones. This is by. I hope I'm saying these names right. This is by Cammy Milne or Milne or whatever. Okay. Oh, and it just says. By the way, and this is all caps. Circus peanuts are the mark of the devil. And then I have lost total and complete respect for Sam Farmer.
Over a circus peanut.
LOL, because Sam liked circus peanuts. So I agree with you. I have also lost total and respect for Sam Farmer.
Sorry, Sam.
And then, you know, here's something that we forgot to bring up. Remember we were talking about the Twitter thing, my Twitter names.
Oh, right.
So Daniel Ramirez.
To catch people up, Josh had lost track of his old Twitter, and he doesn't remember the password to it. So we asked you to suggest a Twitter handle because
we were
going to
create a new one.
We're going to create a new one. Yeah. Yeah. What do you got?
Okay. So Bad Apple writes us. He says, "All right, here's a few of them. I'm going to read a few and then end with the obvious correct choice. Joshua Fro Fligger, Steel Curtain Fligger, Brewmeister Fligger, Fligger the Great." Fligger the Wise, and then the obvious choice, the winner, Mean Joe Fligger.
That's ridiculous.
That's awesome.
That's ridiculous.
Thanks, Bad Apple. That's great. So, and then this guy, where is he at? All right, here. I'm just going to read you the RE line. Hey, Josh. I like you. Well, Anthony Puente, I like you too.
Nice.
So there we got a couple of emails.
That?
Yeah.
That's awesome.
So everybody, keep on writing. I'm reading them. And then my final thing.
What's the email address?
joshuajfligger@gmail.com. Yeah, go ahead and write. So I also want to.
And Fligger is Fleeger.
Yes.
The German pronunciation.
Yes. Fligger. I wanted to do a quick plug.
Oh, by all means.
I want to do a plug. Somebody reached out to me, and there's this cool thing called St. Francis de Sales in Sherman Oaks. They're doing this like kind of fair. They got I forget what it's called. Damn, I'm not doing this very good. But there's
a great plug, Josh.
Yeah. All right, you know, I'm going to read exactly what I wrote. Yes. I wrote, "Remember school fair plug." And I didn't put the name up. No, I did put the details, but I don't know the name of it. Damn it. I'm sorry. But there's this, it's St. Francis de Sales in Sherman Oaks is doing like, it's like a fair thing, a street fair thing. And this gives all the money, all the profits go to the school.
Uh-huh.
And I thought it was a really cool idea. They're fireworks both Friday. It's like, I think a day and night thing. They have fireworks both Friday and Saturday night. And Sugar Ray is performing at 9 p.m. on Saturday night. So
with Mark McGrath and everything?
Yeah, so Google that. It's St. Francis de Sales in Sherman Oaks.
That's this Friday, the
27th? I didn't put that on there. I think it's May.
Oh, so
it's next week. Okay, well, I don't know when this is going to air, so that's why I wanted to get out now.
So look it up. St. Francis de Sales?
Yes, de Sales. I think it's May 2nd and 3rd. Okay. Would that make sense?
Yeah.
Not this week.
If it's a Friday, it'd be one.
It's probably like a Friday, Saturday, Sunday thing.
It's the 4th.
Anyway, look it up. I did a horrible job. So
that was piss.
That was absolute piss. But you know what? That's my first one.
You actually probably did them a disservice. You probably steered people away.
People were probably offended.
He made it sound like such a clusterfuck. I don't want to have anything to do with it.
You know what I did is I went up And I looked at three straight strikes, and I didn't even get the bat off my shoulder, and I just walked right back to the dugout.
That was not good.
But that was my first at bat, so.
All right. Yeah, the next time.
I'll do better next time. You know what? Maybe I'll try plugging it again next time. Whatever. I'm sorry. But I'm going. I'm going to go.
Nice.
I talked with the gentleman. What's his name here? He said he'd buy me a beer, so I'm like, I'm bringing the family. Billy Madden.
Nice.
He St. Francis de Sales and Sherman Oaks.
Sorry, everybody. The fair is now over.
Yeah. Anyway.
The plug is lasting longer than the fair.
Yeah, but there you go. You got your money's worth.
Nicely done.
Sorry, Billy.
So, send Josh your information. Yeah. It may not be delivered very well.
The best part is I thought I was fully prepared to do that plug, and then as soon as I dove in, I was like, I don't have any correct information.
Well, who, what, when, where, why? It's a good thing to...
Well, I thought I wrote that down, but all I wrote was like, Sugar Ray, 9 p.m.
Have you started the Twitter yet?
No, because we haven't decided on a name.
Until now. Flieger. Yeah, all right. So you got to get that started. I'm Andy_Chanley at Twitter. And of course, get on Your Artificial Friends on Facebook. Your Artificial Friends. Aaron Al does a great job of curating that.
Yes.
And keeping up on things. But submit anything you want there. Josh?
Yeah, Andy.
I'm so sorry it's come to an end. But don't be sad it's over. Be glad it happened.
And you know what?
What?
And be happy that we can look forward to another time spending some time together.
I like the way you
looking into each other's eyes and talking about construction.
When the people that you know don't like you,
I had to look away.
And your treasure friendships and
it got real.
Tune into this podcast. We're your artificial friends.
Seriously, I can't look at you in the eyes.
I love you, Josh. I love you.
Strange. I want to be around other people now.